your rights only extend to the point where it doesn't interfere in someone else's life. And by not getting vaccinated, you are actively interfering in someone else's life.
Hi, and welcome to Jamerica. My name is Daniel Battelle, and in this podcast, we're going to discover both differences and similarities between America and Germany with regard to daily politics and societal matters. The topics usually revolve around controversial issues that are being publicly debated. Therefore, today's special subject is going to be the vaccination campaign in the US and Germany, and I'm happy to introduce you to a real expert in this field. My friend Natalia Rossa is a pharmacist from Columbus, Georgia. We both studied at the University of Mississippi. She's originally from Brazil, but moved to the US several years ago. Natalia works for a pharmacy in Georgia and is dealing with the coronavirus vaccines every day. Coming up, you're gonna hear what she has to say about stereotypes that the pharma industry is still facing, why so many Americans refuse to get vaccinated, and why she is in favor of waiving patents of the approved vaccines.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Working a lot. That's how we do things in the USA. You live to work. You don't work to live. So.
And today's your free day, and tomorrow you need to restart?
I'm actually off tomorrow as well, but then I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Is it still CVS that you're working for, or is it some other company?
So I left CVS in October of last year, and I moved to Publix, which I don't know if you know about Publix. They're a supermarket chain, very similar to Kroger, mm-hmm. and they have pharmacies inside them.
And that's in Atlanta?
No. So I never actually lived in Atlanta. I tried, and there were two main reasons I stayed away. One was because I couldn't get a job. Job market is very saturated in the metro Atlanta. And number two, because traffic is absolutely horrendous. Mm. And I just couldn't deal with that every day.
Okay. Well, makes sense. But it doesn't make sense that you didn't find a job for me because you're highly qualified. That's kind of a surprise.
Well, not really. Unfortunately, the job market for pharmacists is not looking good and hasn't been looking good for a couple of years. And of course, pharmacy schools do their best to mask that and pretend like, oh, there's plenty of jobs out there when there aren't. Mm-hmm. We've had way too many pharmacy schools open and shoot out way too many pharmacists at once. Every single year, you got 100 people graduating from each pharmacy school. So there's just a surplus of pharmacists on the market and not enough places to accommodate all of them. And also people are retiring later and later and later. Mm-hmm. So there's no room for the new people when you have, like my former coworker, he was 72 and still working full time.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, but you're not in trouble because you found a job eventually?
Yes, I am not in trouble. I was worried about getting a job right after I graduated because when you're on a work visa, you only have a total of 90 days of unemployment.
Wow, that's not much.
Not at all. So you basically have a gun to your head saying you need to find a job within 90 days or you're going to be illegal in this country, which is something I would never do. So I knew it was getting a job within 90 days or going back to Brazil.
Yeah. But just a personal question. You met your husband before you graduated, right?
Yes. I met him in 2017. On Tinder.
That's funny because I met my girlfriend on Tinder as well.
It works.
It does.
And we actually graduated together. We graduated on the same day at the same time. So we couldn't attend each other's graduations because we were both graduating.
Well, that's a shame. But I'm just asking because those 90 days that you just described must have been hard for you because you had no security whatsoever. And if you hadn't found a job, it would have been critical, right?
Yep, I was losing my mind.
Can imagine. So after how many days do you actually remember when you actually found it?
So I think I had about 9 days left of my unemployment when I got the offer letter. I know.
That's pretty close.
I was cutting it so close.
And that first job was CVS, right?
Yes.
Okay. And please say again the supermarket chain that you work
It's
for.
called Publix.
Okay. And so basically what they offer is it like a drugstore or?
So basically it's a supermarket like any other, and inside of the supermarket there is a pharmacy. So it's just really convenient, you're shopping for groceries, you pick up your prescription, you leave.
Gotcha. And
While CVS is just like a standalone pharmacy that has a front store with other items, but the vast majority of CVS's income comes from prescriptions, and Publix, their income comes from groceries.
But that's in Georgia still.
Yes, in Georgia. And Publix is only in certain states in the South. Mississippi did not have a Publix.
See, that's why I don't know it.
Exactly.
Okay, and could we just talk about the vaccine situation? Are you actually dealing with this in your daily routine?
Very much so. So when, the vaccines actually got authorized emergency use in the USA, Walgreens and CVS, which are the two largest retail pharmacies in the country, signed contracts with the American government to administer vaccines. So they had, first dibs. They were the ones who jumped on it as quickly as possible because they're the ones with the most money. But as they were able to allocate resources a little bit better, the vaccines became more available to, other retail pharmacies such as Publix, which is a fairly large company, and even small independent pharmacies were able to get their hands on some as well. So this has very much been a part of my life since it all started.
Okay, and you just mentioned Walgreens. I just read an article that Walgreens kind of screwed up with many appointments for people that were supposed to get their second vaccine, and there was some kind of chaos. Have you heard about that?
I have not. It doesn't surprise me that that happened. It's been difficult, and it's been a learning process. It's a brand new vaccine on the market. We were still, even at Publix, trying to figure out how to accommodate all these people and get them vaccinated. And it's not as simple as you would think. It's not like, oh, we have shots. Come on over, get immunized. That I wish that's how it worked, but it's really not. And when the vaccine finally became available, the demand was so high that we had to do appointment only. It just, that's the only possible way that it could be done. Because if we just, opened our doors to anyone, the vaccines would be gone in 3 minutes. We'd have a line of 1,000 people at the pharmacy trying to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm sure. Was there some kind of prioritization?
Yes, and that was actually left up to each state because, in the USA, states are very independent and they can kind of run things how they see fit. And in Georgia, they actually had these tiers of people who get vaccinated in a certain order. So your first tier it opened up for anyone that was 65 and up. Then your second tier, they opened up for people with certain comorbidities and people in certain job types. So your, you know, EMTs, which are the emergency medical technicians, your firefighters, you know, people that are in essential professions that deal with public. Then your other tier opened up for other professions dealing with the public, such as retail workers. So if you're a cashier and you're dealing with people every day, they were next in line, and then finally just open it up for everyone. But we try to firstly do our elderly, our medical professionals, and then people at high-risk positions.
That sounds very much like Germany did it as well. And I remember not too long ago, people were upset about the way this went in Germany, because it was very slow in the beginning. By now, it's going much more smoothly. I even had a chance to get vaccinated 3 weeks ago, because I'm in a certain group as a journalist, that I can get it before some other groups, luckily. But 2 months ago, this wouldn't have been imaginable, because we were still vaccinating people over 80 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that definitely changed. But I think a big problem in the United States is that people don't want to get vaccinated, right? There is a huge skepticism.
That is a problem. And well, in the beginning, of course, we dealt with the same thing. People were furious that it was 65 and up. Because in the United States, that is the legal age to be considered elderly is 65. So that's where they drew the line. Actually, in Brazil, my country, they're doing different tiers. Like they're doing 80 and up, 70 and up, 60 and up. But at this point, you know, we've pretty much streamlined the process, and we've gotten to a point that most people that want to get vaccinated have gotten vaccinated, which is scary because it's not nearly enough. We don't have enough people immunized in order to reach that herd immunity, which is when the vast majority of people around you are vaccinated, and therefore the disease doesn't circulate anymore. Because when we say, oh, a disease has been eradicated, it doesn't mean that the virus went away. The virus still exists. So that's not the case. It's just everyone is immune to it because enough people got vaccinated. So the virus doesn't infect anyone, but it's still present.
So are you pessimistic that this herd immunity is going to be reached?
Very much so. Honestly, I think if we ever do reach a point of herd immunity, it's going to be natural immunity. And by that, I mean people actually got infected. Enough people got infected to the point that, you know, it's not circulating anymore because everyone already had corona. But when it comes to vaccinations itself, I don't think we are going to achieve herd immunity through vaccines. A lot of people are very skeptical, including healthcare professionals, including my own colleagues, which I think is mortifying.
It is.
I've worked with pharmacists that say, oh, I just don't know enough about this vaccine. And that just makes me so sad and scared for, you know, just how are you a medical professional and you don't trust a vaccine? I know it's new on the market, but also the FDA isn't crazy. They're not trying to hurt people. And there's this whole idea with, oh, the governments, they're evil, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're not. Okay. Yes, corruption exists and the government's not perfect. And of course, they screw up in several aspects. But the FDA is not actively trying to harm people. Quite the contrary. They're a very well-known and well-respected institution.
True, right.
Yeah. And what bothers me is you're so scared of, a vaccine. But don't forget, FDA stands for Food and Drug Administration. Food. Anything you consume in this country was also controlled by the FDA. So why do you allow them to control your cheeseburgers at McDonald's, but you think they're microchipping you when they come out with a vaccine against a lethal disease?
Yeah, I think most of it has to do with really skepticism about government itself, and fear that there's something going on in the background that you can't really fully understand. And I think the more you're trying to push those people, the more they're gonna reject and say, like hell, I need to get vaccinated. I've heard people say, I'd rather go to prison than take that poison.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, began way before with the anti-vax movement, which I still can't wrap my head around that and how that came to be. It just blows my mind how fearful people are of something that has been saving human lives for years and has been shown to be effective and safe over and over and over again. Like, the evidence is overwhelming, and people are still scared of a little shot.
Yeah,
While
and I don't hear many people discuss the danger of the coronavirus itself anymore. It's all about the potential threats of vaccines that people discuss and what they're afraid of. But I mean, if you really get infected with coronavirus, it might get pretty dangerous for you if you're not vaccinated.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, really, because everyone is so concerned about, oh, long-term effects of the vaccine, long-term side effects. Well, first of all, vaccines have been around for several years, and we have yet to see any long-term side effects. That's not really a thing that happens with vaccines, but anyway, and nobody is concerned about the long-term side effects of the disease itself.
Right. And what about you personally? Have you got a chance to get vaccinated yet?
I have. So I actually did contract corona. I had it back in December. I had a very mild case, so it wasn't anything scary for me because I'm young and I'm healthy. I'm not the target demographic for, actually having severe complications. And once you get infected, it's recommended that you wait a 3 month period to get vaccinated. So even though I was eligible to receive the vaccine back in December when I got infected, I had to wait because I had to, you have to wait, give your body a certain time before you get the vaccine. And so I got vaccinated. I got my first dose back in March and my second dose in April. I got the Moderna vaccine. And here I am, and nothing bad has happened so far. My DNA has not been altered, and I don't have any crazy mutations going on. I was hoping I could turn blue or something cool, but no, sorry. All I have is immunity.
Let me ask you a question. Because here in Germany we have there is a group called Querdenken, and people that are going to demonstrations linked to Querdenken think that Bill Gates actually wants to plant some microchips into us and that kind of stuff. Are there people going on the streets demonstrating against getting vaccinated, or is it just what people discuss in their living rooms?
So we have not had any demonstrations on the streets, thank God. It's more something that happens on the internet, especially social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. So it's not really something that people are going out on the streets to protest about. So that's something they do in their homes,
Yeah,
well,
I'm
behind
actually,
a computer.
but maybe back to back to Publix. What kind of vaccines do you offer there? All kinds of officially licensed vaccines like Moderna, Johnson and Johnson. Do you have limitations?
So initially, we only had Moderna. Then, once Johnson and Johnson hit the market, we received that and then quit administering Johnson and Johnson because it was pulled by the FDA for a period of time because they had linked the vaccine to certain coagulation disorders. So
Yeah,
people were getting blood clots.
which shows that the FDA is not joking around, right? I mean, if there is a threat, they will let you know, and they will
Exactly.
put it on hold. So I think this shows how responsible they are.
Exactly. They are being very, very cautious with everything because the incidence of blood clots was minimal, like almost negligible. And it only happened in people that had a predisposition for those blood clots in the first place. But still, the FDA was like, pump the brakes. Let's check this out before we continue administering it. And so at Publix, the reason why we never got the Pfizer vaccine is because we don't have the storage requirements to keep the vaccine stable. Because when it initially came out, they were saying that it would have to be stored in a freezer at very, very cold temperatures. And the public's pharmacies didn't have the space to put those freezers in place to store the vaccines.
Yeah, makes sense. I remember in Osnabrück, which is the city where I work, the mayor got vaccinated before he was supposed to. It was, I think, in January or even earlier, because he was at an appointment where people that live in old people's homes got vaccinated, and they used Pfizer BioNTech, and those doses have already been defrosted. And so they said, well, we've got two or three doses here that people didn't show up for their appointments, and we need to give it away because otherwise you can't use it anymore. So I think that's what you're implying, right? Because there need to be certain conditions fulfilled for BioNTech in order to use it the right way.
Yes, and it was really just while you're not using the vaccine, while you're not administering them to store them, they have to be kept at very, very cold temperatures.
I think that Pfizer, BioNTech, they gave an update and they told people that it doesn't need to be frozen at minus 28 degrees or something, because in the beginning this was different, and I think today they recommend a different temperature scale.
Yes, that is correct. So they have now changed their statement and it can actually be stored at a higher temperature than what we initially thought. And they've also changed their statement for the Moderna vaccine. When we started out, we thought that once the vial was punctured, that it was only good at room temperature for 6 hours. We've now found that once you puncture the vial, it's good for 12 hours, which is fantastic. I can open a vial in the morning and it will last me my entire shift at the pharmacy.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to people that said that they're skeptical because there are new findings every week about the vaccines, about medication, whatever. But that's what science is, right? I mean, there are new findings on a regular basis. That's just the way it is, and it's no reason to not to trust those vaccines.
Exactly. That is a good thing. And finding new things every week is good. And when you're conducting drug trials, because everyone's so scared of these vaccines because, we haven't studied them enough, blah, 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 blah. But when a new drug hits the market, that means that it went through three different phases of trials. And the fourth phase of that drug trial is actually what we call a post-marketing phase, which is when the drug hits the actual market and several people start taking that medication. And you find out a whole bunch of new things after that drug has hit the market, because if it's a rare side effect, you're not going to see it during a drug trial. You're going to see it when you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people taking that medication, enough people that one of them is going to manifest that strange side effect. So nothing has changed. This is how things have always been done. Mm-hmm. You have a trial with a set number of people, and once it hit the market, the studies are ongoing.
Mm. Exactly.
So there's nothing new about what they're doing. It's just, well, the only thing that's different is that they authorized this emergency use, which means they rushed putting this on the market just because of the overall risk benefit.
Exactly.
There's so many people dying of corona that it's more important to get a vaccine out before we're, you know, completely done with the phase three study.
Yeah. I mean, the laboratories and the pharmaceutical industry were only so fast and quick in developing the vaccines because it was the first time basically in human history that those companies worked together and had this project because there was so much pressure to find a solution.
Exactly. And it's a matter of public health. And I know that everyone likes to say that Big Pharma is bad, Big Pharma is evil, but actually when it comes to vaccines, that is something that the pharmaceutical industry profits the least out of.
Vaccines. And why is that? Can you explain?
Yeah. So vaccines are expensive to make. The technology, you know, behind them, it's a lengthy, inexpensive process because you have to use advanced technology either by inoculating certain types of cells or using, you know, this new mRNA vaccine, which is both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. So it's an expensive process in itself, but because it is a matter of public health, there's a lot of government rebates. So they're not necessarily making money out of it. They get, you know, they'll get government incentives to put these things on the market, but it's not profitable like a drug like Viagra, where people are just buying left and right and paying cash price, because you want these things to be accessible and they have to be free in order to be accessible.
Are you annoyed when you hear prejudices and stereotypes about Big Pharma in such a negative way all the time?
Extremely, extremely annoyed. And of course, I understand that it is a business. And no business stays open if it's not profitable. Of course, they have to make a profit. Of course they do. That's how it works. It's capitalism. Suck it up. That's the society we live in.
Yeah.
If you're not profitable, you're done. So I understand that they have to make money. But at the same time, Big Pharma isn't actively trying to harm you. I mean, they're actively trying to make money out of you, yes. But they're not out to get you. We're not trying to microchip people. We're not trying actively to get people hooked on medications.
What are your thoughts, I wonder, on licensing the vaccines worldwide and giving away the recipes?
See, I hadn't really thought about that. That's a really good question.
Yeah, that's being discussed globally at the moment because there are a lot of countries that do not have vaccines, that don't have access, and they have people dying every day. So we need to do something about that because, well, the mutations are a threat to all people around the world, and it doesn't make the situation any better when people are vaccinated in the US, but there's a new mutant in India that is a threat to everyone.
Well, so because it is a matter of public health, I don't think that vaccines should undergo the same, what exactly, it's, there's a name for it that I can't recall. But basically, if you put out a new drug on the market, that company owns the patent for the drug, which would be the recipe for that drug for 20 years, where they have, you know, market, they're exclusive in the market, and you can't come out with a generic because they came up with it, so no one else is allowed to make that. But when it comes to vaccines, I mean, that's a completely different situation because it's literally a matter of public health during a pandemic. So I don't think that same law, because it's actually a law in the USA, I don't think that it should apply to this circumstance, because they, it is, you know, it's life-saving. It is a matter of life or death.
So
So I
you.
do think that that should be made available for those that do not have vaccines, of course.
You explained that it's a tough process to develop those vaccines, and it's not very profitable compared to other medication. So it has been a huge effort for those companies to get to the point where we are today. So would you understand them if they say, well, we're not giving it away now, we're just starting to make profit?
I could understand that happening, but I am hopeful that it won't be the case because I do want to believe that the vast majority of people that get into a business like that are in it with the intent to help people. Same, you know, in my profession, I have coworkers that are skeptical about the vaccine. And I even had coworkers that were skeptical about the legitimacy of COVID when it first came out. But they're the minority. So most people that work in that type of industry want to help others. So while I can understand that they do have, you know, gigantic pressure from stockholders and just people breathing down their neck over the profits, I do hope that because you chose to get into something that directly correlates with people's health, that that speaks louder than greed.
I recently heard that even Joe Biden was in favor of giving out the patents because he said humans should always stand above patents.
I 100% agree. Here's the problem. It's there's a lot of personal opinions going into matters of public health. And there can be no room for personal feelings when it's a matter of public health. It's all, I believe, no, I don't care about how you feel. This is for the greater good. And it's not like we're making giant sacrifices. It's just, yeah, maybe you'll lose some profitability, but it's for the greater good.
Yeah, I guess when you're thinking about it that way, it's a no-brainer actually. So what's your personal expectation when we are through with this pandemic? Do you think that by the end of this year, we might have a chance of getting our normal lives back, if you will?
I don't think that this is going to be over by the end of this year. I really don't, because the virus is still mutating. So we're still learning. Everything is new right now. It's a new strain of virus. The vaccines are new. Everything is so foreign to us at this point that I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I think we have a good, honestly, I think we have years of this ahead of us. Because I mean, I'm in my own little bubble. I'm in the USA where vaccines are readily available. Where I work, we're at the point that we accept walk-in appointments. You can just walk into a grocery store at your convenience. You're there picking up a bag of flaming hot Cheetos, and you can get a vaccine. It's that easy here.
That's a real luxury.
It's an absolute luxury, and people are still not getting vaccinated. And this is not the reality. This is not how the vast majority of the world lives. I mean, just look at India, look at Brazil. Like, it is a disaster right now. I mean, we're not even talking about what's happening in Africa because no one seems to care about what happens in Africa. So we don't really know of their situation because we don't have people reporting on it. So I honestly think that we have years ahead of us before we can even think of returning to normalcy.
That's a dark prospect.
It is, but again, yeah, maybe things will seem normal here in the USA, but what about the rest of the world? There are so many people that aren't going to get access to the vaccines anytime soon, which is just a fact. I mean, we have been neglecting the most of the world for as long as we know, for as long as we've been a society. So, and honestly, I don't think the pandemic changed that.
You're probably right. And what about the situation in the state of Georgia? Is it going well with the vaccines, or is there a lot of skepticism?
The COVID rates are steadily declining, and each day we have less people dying from it.
Well, that's good.
But it does terrify me, like I was saying, that it is so easy to get a vaccine. And at this rate, you know, vaccines are just a small fraction of what I do during my work day. Compared to when the vaccine came out, that people were coming in and yelling at me because we had to impose restrictions on who we were going to vaccinate first. I had 64-year-old people come in and cuss me out because they weren't 65 and I should vaccinate them. And I'm like, well, I don't have any control over that. That's, you know, something that the government decided.
And that's interesting, though,
And
because it appears that people feel some kind of uncertainty, maybe due to some things on the news that they hear about, that there is something wrong with one person that got vaccinated, and they're drawing conclusions out of this, and suddenly they don't fully trust it anymore. And then
yeah.
once the word is out, they tell their friends, they tell their families, and then well, yeah, it's a different situation than 3 months ago.
Yeah, and I mean, all it takes is one person to start one stupid rumor to ruin something perfectly good, which is how the anti-vaxxers came to be. It was one doctor who posted a study linking vaccines to autism, a study that has been debunked more times than I can count, a doctor that lost his license to practice medicine. And that's all it took. One moron with absolutely no evidence of what he was claiming created a movement this large. So it just takes one person to ruin something entirely great for everyone.
Yeah, and
But
all people hear is that a doctor criticizes the vaccine, and even if he lost his license, the word is out, and then yeah, it's a snowball effect.
it does scare me. It does scare me to see. Now I maybe give 10, 20 shots a day, and I work 12-hour shifts. That's extremely upsetting, especially when it's so easy to get one.
And isn't it kind of absurd that there's lotteries, I think in Oregon, going on, lotteries for people that get vaccinated just to have an incentive? I mean, it's kind of absurd if the governor of a state needs to give out an incentive, such as a lottery, to go make people go to drugstores and take their shots.
Honestly, and this is where, you know, what I was saying before, that your personal opinion does not matter when it comes to public health. It's ridiculous that you have to offer incentive to get vaccinated. That's absolutely ridiculous.
And it's not
It's like,
it's not a
it's
small
just.
incentive, right? If you give out $1 million in a lottery, I mean, it seems to be insufficient to say, well, you get a free cheeseburger or I don't know what. I think there's huge lotteries. I just looked it up in Ohio and Oregon, with millions of dollars, public money, is given out to people.
I mean, what an apparentness of helplessness, isn't it?
Well, it's just, I don't understand how it's even up for discussion. It's like when we've decided, you know, that we had to put fluoride in the water supply because fluoride showed that it decreased, you know, tooth decay and helped prevent cavities. That wasn't up for discussion. We have shown that fluoride helps you keep your teeth clean and healthy. So we put fluoride in the water. Vaccines have shown that they are safe and they are effective. So it shouldn't be up for discussion whether you're going to get one or not, unless you have a legitimate medical contraindication for it. That is the only circumstance where it would be advised against. And I'm a little bit radical. I'm a lot radical when it comes to that, but your rights only extend to the point where it doesn't interfere in someone else's life. And by not getting vaccinated, you are actively interfering in someone else's life.
Exactly. That is a point that I would like to add something to, because I recently needed to talk to some people that really oppose everything, all of the measures that the government created in Germany in order to deal with this pandemic. They oppose everything, right? So they say, we live in a dictatorship. This is not democracy anymore, that kind of stuff.
So the other day, I've been interviewing a woman on the streets. And in response to my question whether she considered signing up for a coronavirus vaccine, she told me it would be solely her decision to make. You know, I stayed neutral in the moment, but silently I was thinking, yeah, of course it's your decision, but you also decide for other people when you reject taking it. And she simply didn't seem to be aware of her responsibility for others in society.
Yeah. And a great way to make people think about it is drunk driving. While you may think that drunk driving is only your problem because you're the one that's driving drunk, you might kill someone in the process.
That's
So
a good example.
that's where your personal choice just interfered with someone else's life. And that is exactly the case with vaccines. Your personal choice not to get vaccinated could have caused someone else who medically cannot get vaccinated to become infected and die. And if you don't want to be a part of that, well, then you can't live in society. If you want to live in society, you have to follow a certain set of guidelines, a certain set of rules. If you don't want to be a part of that, you're more than welcome to isolate yourself. But this is not infringing on your rights. It's a matter of public safety. It's a matter of living in a healthy society.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So I think we need to wrap it up a little bit. It's been a real pleasure to keep up with you. And just allow me one other question that hasn't anything to do with what we've been talking about. You just recently mentioned that you went to Ole Miss for a party or something.
So I went back to Oxford for baby shower.
Oh, a baby shower, right? I
Yeah.
remember now. And has anything changed on campus, or is it still the same?
I didn't really go on campus. I was there for a day and a half, Because it's a fairly long drive. Like it's a 5 hour drive. So I was there a day and a half. I went downtown. So the square looked pretty different. They have lots of new construction, lots of new restaurants and new bars opening up. And
Really?
Oxford has grown. Oxford has grown significantly. They have a lot of new stuff, but I didn't really step on campus to see.
Well, that's interesting. I thought the square would still look the same.
No,
Yes.
Oxford has definitely grown.
Guess I need to pay Oxford another visit. So, thanks so much that you had so much time for this. And I hope you can rest a little bit and enjoy your day off.
Thank you.
When Will comes home, say hi and enjoy the afternoon.
Okay, all right. You go have fun.
I will. Bye bye.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye. You too.